She is actually a well-known gospel singer in Tallahassee in her own right, and has appeared on recordings with FAMU's gospel choir. And she was very interested in the possibility of combining blues techniques with gospel techniques, something which has not previously been done. And when they come out here, they're going to do some examples for you. Charles, both of blues and Anita of gospel singing with, and also some with and some without blues techniques, to give you an idea of what they've been doing. So while they're setting up, I think I'll have them say a couple words to you about their tradition. Would you like to say a couple words here?
Thank you so much for coming to see what we're putting down today. Anita and I have been working together since January. Anita is a gospel singer, and really had no need for or use for the blues. I'm a blues instructor at Florida State, and I have every need for the blues. And Anita and I, being the good friends we are and recording and what have you, we decided to put our hands in each other's hands and try to help each other through. So she's come to help me out with my experimentation with blues and gospel, because I think I've been told by people in the church, my brothers and sisters, I am a churchgoer. Many of them just don't know what to call the blues, and so I've taken it upon myself to do something about that and the cause of the blues. I think it's a good music. I think music is for the good of the soul. And I don't like some of the names that's been given to it. So we're going to put some spiritual words to some bluesy sounds, and we hope you like it. Thank you.
Do I have any gospel fans out here who love gospel music? All right, I feel good now. The first song is "I Wonder Why You're So Good to Me." I wonder why the Lord Jesus is so good to me. Come on, put your hands together. To do, I look to you, Jesus, to see me through. I wonder why you're so good to me. Oh, well, the devil thought he had me. Lord, you opened my eyes to see. My bills are due. I look to you, Lord, to see me through. I wonder why you're so good to me. Oh, well, now the devil thought he had me. Lord, keep me in your care. The third one is called Angel Child. Standing true friend in him I found. No matter how hard the trials may be, he will always be around to place your feet on higher ground. Yeah. The last song that Charles taught me how to do in blues rhythm. This is kind of hard, but I did it. I may walk by myself, but I know the Lord is watching over me. Charles, even though it was on soundtrack, Charles did all the music. And for our last selection, I wanted Charles to sing.
Nita.
For real.
I had some help on the music. A couple of people that couldn't make it. Perry Nelson on the drums and Chris Stevens. He sounded like he came from over there on the other side of the track. But if you know what I mean, he's a young man who's really acquired that real sound on the guitar. Chris Stevens and Perry Nelson, I'd like to, they're not here, but let's give them a hand anyway. Real nice.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your time, your patience, and your love.
Thanks. Well, thank you. That was great. And we'll hear more from Mr. Atkins later with as he's playing with the Blues Boys over on the dance stage at 7:45, and also here tonight on this stage at 10:30. Our next group, actually apprenticeship duo, is going to be Johnny Conga. And his apprentice, Maria Medina Serafin. Johnny is a well-known as a conga drummer. He's played for a wide variety of Latin bands. Some of them are very well-known, such as Brazil 77, I think it was. And he's played with Mongo Santa Maria, a lot of bands. Right now, he's been living for a while in Miami Beach, and he's developed a couple bands of his own, Caribe and Roots of Rhythm, which will be playing, I believe, on this stage on Sunday afternoon. His apprentice, Maria Medina Serafin, is actually a very accomplished salsa vocalist who worked in the San Francisco Bay Area for many years and had her own band, Sin Igual. She also played with a lot of other bands in the area. When she moved to Miami, she became interested again in drumming, which is also something she had exposure to in her family when she was younger. And she decided to do an apprenticeship with Johnny. And so they're going to be showing you different aspects of rhythms used in Afro-Caribbean drumming, and I hope somehow we'll also get to hear Maria sing. All right, are you guys set up?
Testing, 1, 2, good evening. How's everybody doing out there? All right, we're having a good time here at the This is the 44th annual Florida Folk Festival. Yeah, it's my first time here. I feel very honored to be able to participate in the apprenticeship program as a master musician and apprentice. Like I said, it's my first time, and I'm very fortunate to have a very good student, Maria Medina Serafin, who's been involved with our Afro-Caribbean culture, or Afro-Latin culture, as we like to say, for a very long time. She having had her own band in the San Francisco Bay Area called Sin Igual, a 10-piece all-girl orchestra, where she led, direct, arranged, sang, played percussion. She's been around for a long time. We met in Miami about 3-4 years ago, and we have been friends ever since. And I was very happy that she wanted to partake in this apprenticeship program. We as, how do I say, Caribbean people are very tied to our culture, our ethnic culture, our food, our dances, the way we dress, the way we talk, our music, and our drums. Drums having come from Mother Africa many hundreds of years ago, that are still used in Africa today for all senses and purposes. Rhythms for giving birth, rhythms for death, rhythms for birthdays, rhythms for everything in every way of tribal life, which was brought over by the slaves during the slavery time. And the funny thing about it is, with all these slaves who were brought from many different tribes being forced to live together, all spoke different languages, but the drum brought them all together in a strange sort of way, where they were able to maintain their cultural heritages and their rhythms from their own tribes and be able to share them with the other slaves that they had to live with on a daily basis. And all that brought us dance, the dances that we have today, the salsa and the mambo, the cha-cha-cha, all that came from that drumming heritage. This evening, Maria Medina, who has been studying with me for some time, will perform a variety of hand patterns, the stomp method, which is a method that I've shown her, called slap tone open muffle palm. She will then go into a variety of rhythms we call dance rhythms, bossa nova from Brazil, the bomba from Puerto Rico, the conga from Cuba, 6-8, which is an Afro rhythm. She'll do a few 6-8 rhythms. Then she will do some counting and playing in duple meter time, which is double meter. Afro Blue, which is a Mongo Santa Maria composition. She will then go into another dance rhythm called the Bolero. Then she will do different tumbaos. These are hand rhythms, dance rhythms, in a variety of rhythms. Then she will do the Calypso, the Merengue, and close with what she calls the 17, Maria Medina Serafin.
Thank you very much. It's an honor and a privilege to be here with you. Thank you. Thank you very much. I would like to close out my presentation by offering you something that I have learned, a percussive statement, a percussive poem that I would like to dedicate to my master percussionist, Johnny Conga, to all the teachers that I've had in my life, and for your enjoyment. 10 y 7, or in English, 17. And my instructor told me, and this is one of the things that I find so true, especially about drumming, if you can talk it, you can play it. So with that, 17. Cucra, cucra, cra, cra, cra. Cucra, cucra, cra, cra, cra. Cra, 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 cra.
Serafine. Thank you very much. We're going to close with what they call Wawanko, which is a dance rhythm from Cuba.
And just before we do that, JC, I'm gonna do a little something for Tina. And I also want to thank all the beautiful and wonderful people that have come together to make this beautiful festival happen. Yes, how about it? A nice round of applause, yes. And to all the wonderful people that are here as artists and craftsmen, I have met so many interesting people throughout, and everyone has been so cooperative and kind and everything. So Tina, just to reinforce, why I love so much Caribbean drumming, because my raíces, because of my roots.
Mi raíz se viene del África negra. Mi raíz se viene del África negra. África, que vive en mi corazón, es la herencia de mi pueblo, ese es el canto del son. Mi raíz se viene del África negra, mi raíz se viene del África negra, lo mismo negro que blanco, a todo debes querer, la bondad está en tu alma y no en el color de tu piel. Mi raíz se viene del África negra.
Thank you. And this wraps up our apprenticeship showcase. I hope you've enjoyed it, and you'll come see these performers and more in the apprenticeship area in the Craft Square behind the tower from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tomorrow and Sunday. Thanks again.
How about a hand for all of the master artists and their apprentices? In addition to what you heard tonight, there are others over in the Craft Square, including saltwater fly tying, herbal medicine, Mexican Day of the Dead altars, herbal medicine, Cuban birdcage, and kite making. Now, all of these things are being demonstrated throughout the day. In addition to all of the music that you've heard tonight, you can actually participate with some of these groups. So it should be a lot of fun to do that. This year, the theme of the Folk Festival is storytelling. And it's something that I remember from way, way, way back being a very big part of the Folk Festival. And it's wonderful to see that it's become so very, very important and popular throughout the state. And we know that it's an oral tradition that connects the old with the new. And it's so much fun to hear the retelling of a historical event or a ghost story or a legend or just someone's personal experiences. And tonight we do have a couple of these storytellers who are involved with the Folk Life program over in the around the auditorium. There are several areas over there you'll want to seek out. And have a relaxing little sit to listen to some of these wonderful stories. But our first one is originally from Florida. He now lives in Atlanta, and he tells wonderful cracker tales. How about a big welcome for John Rice?
Don't you think that love stories are the greatest stories that there ever were? Well, especially now, if you hear it from Abner Stitch from over at Turkey Oak. We ought to hear about his courtship. I asked Paul t'other night if I could go over to Sal's house and court. Well, Paul said, reckon as to how you can, son, if you'd be sure to get back here by 10 o'clock. So I went on over there to Sal's house. But Sal's ma said Sal weren't there. She was down at the church house at the meeting. So I went on down to the church house, and I walked in there looking around, and the preacher seen me, and he said, my son, are you seeking salvation? And I said, no, son, I'm a seeking Sal Turner. Well, she was there. Well, after the meeting, we went on to Sal's house, and we figured we'd play Chaw the String. You ever play Chaw the String? Well, what you do is you get yourself a piece of string, and you stick one end in your gal's mouth, and you stick t'other end in your mouth, and you both commence to chaw. And you keep a chawing on that string, and pretty soon, you're bound to get to the middle. Well, when you get to the middle of that there string, that's when you reach over and get yourself a nice big old, you know, kiss. Well, Sal couldn't find no string, but she got the dish rag, and we stuck one end in Sal's mouth, and we stuck t'other end in my mouth, and we commenced to chaw. And Sal saw, chawed, and I chawed, and pretty soon we got to the middle. But when I reached over to get myself my big old kiss, Sal sneezed and I swallowed the dish rag. Y'all to try it. You might like it. Well, I tell you, I'm just taking two or three minutes here. So I'm going to wind up with one of the most outlandish things that ever happened in the natural world of nature. You know, water is supposed to freeze at 32 degrees. Isn't that right? Fahrenheit. Well, down here, or down in South Florida, where I used to live as a boy, cracker country boy, we didn't have a hard freeze very often. So the few times when there would be a hard freeze come through there, it was confusing for some of the water, especially water like this old frog pond down back of my place that always just sat there. No water going in, no water coming out. It was sitting there just like it was an anesthetic or something, you know. And one night when a hard freeze was setting in and the temperature was sneaking on down like a thief in the night, and the night hours wore on and the temperature got down to 32, well, all normal water would say to itself, I'm supposed to turn into ice now any second. But do you think that frog pond water was aware of anything? It was oblivious to the whole world. And the temperature kept going on down below 32. And there that water just sat there. But late in the night, something scared the frogs, and they all jumped in at once, and it waked up that frog pond water, and the ice set just like that. So guess what I saw the next morning when I went down there? All these frog legs sticking up out of the ice. So I got my lawnmower, and I harvested 6 barrels of frog legs, enough to last us in the freezer for 6 months, and I ought to terminate right there, folks.
That was John Rice, and he is one of the resident storytellers in the Folklife area. I hope that you can get over there and enjoy lots and lots of storytellers all day long tomorrow. How many of you are familiar with the Maypole dance? How many of you have ever seen it? Okay, hands down, how many of you have never seen a Maypole dance? Well, that's pretty amazing. That's a real tradition, and it's something that everybody should see. And you can see it every day. In front of the museum, there's a group of children from Branford's Elementary School, sixth graders, and they are performing every day from 11 and then again at 12. They do this dance for you, and it's really beautiful and takes you back if you remember doing that as a child. And apparently they do this at the school every year. I think it's a wonderful tradition. Well, our next performer, I had the privilege of hearing for the first time last year over at the Azalea Garden when it was just a little workshop area, and I was absolutely mesmerized. He's from Miami Beach. He's Canadian. His father is from the Ukraine, and the instrument that he plays, the bandura, is a traditional Ukrainian instrument. And he has a wonderful name, too. It's Yarko Antonovich. How about a warm welcome for Yarko? Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was a medley that I had put together of a couple Ukrainian dance medleys. This, for those of you, any of you see me last year when I performed? All right, thank you. You notice that I have a different bandura. This instrument is known as a Kharku bandura. It comes from the Kharku region of Ukraine, which is in the eastern part of Ukraine. This is a more traditional instrument of the two. This is a kind of instrument that the minstrels would have carried around with them as they traversed Ukraine many, many hundreds of years ago. The next song that I'm going to play for you is a very favorite song of mine, and probably favorite for a lot of you also. This is a song that was written for the modern bandura by a very great Ukrainian composer, a gentleman that I had the great privilege and honor of studying with. His name was Grigori Ketasty, and this is a piece called Echoes of the Steppes. Thank you very much. This next one is one that you might recognize. This is not a Ukrainian piece. It's written by, according to legend, by King Henry VIII. Of course, the way those kings were, they could have said they wrote anything, and if someone disagreed with them, well, they just lose their head over the argument. So depending on what time of year this is, it's either green sleeves or what child is this? So since this is Christmas for me right now, this is what child is this? Thank you very much. I can't tell you what a great honor it is for me to be here. Think that how many certain odd years ago I was a tourist coming down to Miami Beach with my family, and it's not the usual route when you become a tourist that you all of a sudden end up in White Springs playing. So I've seen the light. Thank you for showing it to me. Okay, this next tune that I'm going to play, this is a medley of dance tunes. They span about 400 years. That's not how long it takes to play. That's just when they come from. Good. All right, the very first one is a thing called Kozachok, which is a young maiden's dance. Second one is called Molodichka, which literally means young maiden. Third one is a dance that comes from northern Ukraine. It's called Tropak. It's a little bit of a Russian influence in this one. And the very last one, listen very carefully for this theme. The last one is called Mlynok, and Mlyn in Ukrainian means windmill. So as you hear that theme, imagine those huge propellers spinning around very slowly as the wind starts blowing on them. And then they go around faster and faster and faster. Just like the propeller on that windmill, these dances start off traditionally very slowly, very simple steps, and then the tempo gets faster and faster, and the steps get more and more intricate until one of two things happen. Either there's only one dancer left on the floor, or all of the musicians have dropped dead. So since I'm probably the only bandura player here, show of hands. Okay, when I start to hear my heart palpitate, I will take a hit of geritol and slow down. So this is a medley of Ukrainian dances.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you very, very much. Thank you.
He will be playing tomorrow at the Folklife area, so if you have your program, find his name, that wonderful name, Jarko Antonovich. Seek him out tomorrow. Isn't that beautiful? About another hand. Well, one of our favorite storytellers is about to tell us some of his red dirt stories. He's formerly from Florida, and he now lives in Atlanta. How about a warm welcome for Chuck Larkin?
Thank you. If you've had a chance to visit with some of the storytellers this weekend, you'll find that there's no two of us alike. About 25, 30 years ago, I found out that I could earn some money on the side by telling city people I was like growing up on a farm. So I'm in that branch of storytelling and just reminisce about our experiences of life. And tonight at supper, one of my friends said, well, Chuck, tell him about the first job. Is it interesting? I said, yes, it was. I got my first job when I was 9 years old. I was a B-boy. I've discovered over the years that most folks don't know much about that old occupation. But if you know anything about cowboys and cowgirls and cowfolks, well, the forerunner of that whole industry was B-boys. I'd get up in the morning, go over to Sylvester's farm and get the tops off the honeybee hives and take that whole mess of honeybees and herd them out to the clover pasture. Then I'd, yes, ma'am. And I ain't lying about this. And I'd walk around and sing B-boy songs to them, which you've heard here a lot. I mean, that's what a lot of the folk music is, what we used to call B-boy songs. Turkey and Straw and Old Joe Clark, stuff like that. What happened in this first job, and I was excited, is that when I reported work first day, Sylvester, he hands me this old rusty rifle, one bullet. Chuck, I don't want no black bears along the Nassawonga Creek messing around with my honeybees, you understand? I said, yes, sir, I ain't gonna let me, no, sir, you gonna let me use a rifle? Yeah, you can have this old rusty one bullet, though, that's all. That's all you need for a bear. Yes, sir. Well, I tell you, I was having a ball. I mean, I was about my third week. I ran a little problem. It's not funny, ma'am. This is tragedy. Well, it is. I was on the far side of the pasture, and one of my little honeybees kind of strayed too close to the tree line, and two humongous bears come out. And each one grabbed hold of one of those honeybees' little wings, and they turned and ran back into the woods. You know, they, for you city folks, they loves the nectar on those honeybees. Well, being 9 years old with a rusty rifle, one bullet, I can't say I had a lot of smarts then, and today I try to pretend I do. And so I ran across that pasture, you screaming like a banshee, you bears, turn that honeybee loose. Well, they went in the woods and off the ridge down toward the creek, toward the bottom of the holler, and I'm right behind them. Now, for you South Floridians, that's the area where, you know, it goes down sometimes between the hills. That's called a holler, and there's usually a creek. Well, you got to tell some of these folks. I understand what culturally deprived crowds are like. Now, there I am chasing these two bears, screaming at. Suddenly, they turned my little honeybee loose when they got down by the creek, turned sideways, and started coming back toward me. That can flat out wake you up. Well, I quickly swung my rusty rifle around and gave that bear on the left direct eye contact. How many of you teachers here have told your kids in school, look straight at a wild animal and it'll slow them down? I'm here to tell you that's a lie. People put that stuff in books, they ain't never been in the woods. And I'm watching this here bear coming in and watching this one over here with my peripheral vision Took me 15 years to be able to put that into a story. Peripheral vision. Well, ma'am, I'm sorry. I just didn't get that much book learning until I got to University of Florida, where they taught me a little bit. And, well, you know, today, if you had to make a decision, you just appoint a committee, but I was there by myself. That's almost un-American now. And I'm watching this baby, and suddenly this one's on. Well, I just rammed my hand right down his throat. Surprise that bear. But you know, he kept rolling right up my arm. So the only thing left to do was to grab his tongue and whip him inside out. Now his momentum was carrying him away from me. Well, you might think it's funny, but at the time I didn't. But I can tell you this. If you want the definition of an ego trip, go turn a bear inside out. I turned on his buddy. When he seen what I'd done, he skedaddled around a circle and over that creek he went full speed. Well, I remembered what Sylvester had told me. And I said, I'm going to get you. And I'm after that second bear. I didn't have to worry about the first bear. You city folks got to understand, they don't live long inside out. So I knew he'd be all right for a while. Well, I was crossing the creek. Now, I didn't want to get all wet and shoes wet. And I was on the stepping stones, going across careful. About halfway across, when a fox broke out of the woods, and he started snarling and coming at me. I ain't scared of no foxes. Now, for you youngins, if they get in close, they can shred your britches. But I figured, all right, I'd already realized I had a lot of work getting that bear meat up the ridge to Sylvester's. So I thought, I'll just fire my old bullet at that fella and scare him away. But just then, that fox's mate broke from the woods on my right. You get two foxes, they can tear your shoes up. So I thought, all right, I'll shoot down between the two, scare them both off. And I was swinging that rusty, when here come seven of them humongous Canada geese over my left shoulder. They were lower and down than the top of this. Have you ever ate a Canada goose cooked right? What's it taste like? Chicken. That's right. Some of you know. And I'm looking at it. And I thought, ooh, I could shoot one. They're good. But I seen another shadow, and I pulled around. Here comes seven mallard ducks over my right shoulder. I know I could almost hit one. You know what they taste like when they're cooked right? Yes, ma'am. You're the only one who understands. A couple people back there, too. Say that again. What does it taste like when it tastes right? Cooks right. All right. Well, but then I noticed these foxes is getting close. So I swung that old rusty rifle barrel around. Wham! I fired that there bullet. Some of you may not believe what I'm going to tell you now. But I'd walk on my lips before I'd lie about something like this. It was mayhem. Best I could work it out later, that bullet, when it went down, it hit a little sharp rock and split in half. The left side went through that fox on the left, killed it dead in a doornail, hit a little rock, ricocheted off, threw a bush. So help me, this is the truth. A 12-point buck deer leapt up in the air and fell down dead with half a bullet straight in his head. The right side of that bullet took out that fox on the right, ricocheted off a stone, hit a branch over yonder about 30 feet. Now, when it hit that branch, it split the wood, which immediately snapped back. There just happened to be seven wild turkeys roosting on that branch. And when it pinched their toes, they're over there going gobbly, gobbly. I thought, this is my lucky day. You remember I told you how that bullet hit that little sharp rock? You remember that part? Bam! Woo! That rock busted. Thousands of sharp shards of rock rose majestically up in the air. Kilt, skinned, and field-dressed seven squirrels.
They're coming down like big raindrops. Plop, 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 plop. You remember, I told you it was an old rusty rifle. Boom, that thing blowed up. Old iron rifle barrel just rose up and skivered all 7 of them Canada goose. And the wooden shoulder stock took out all 7 of the mallard ducks. Force of the explosion blew me right back in the water on top of a school of native mountain trout fish that got so jammed up in my pockets, under my breeches, under my shirt, it popped a button that went straight up in the air with incredible velocity. That's another one of those three-syllable words. And killed a pheasant flying over. Now, here's the part some people don't believe. That pheasant fell down and killed a rabbit, and I didn't even know it was there. I looked around at all that carnage, and I don't like hunting, didn't then, don't like it today. After all, I was shooting at nothing but down between. What a mess. Well, I was raised in the Depression, and in those days, there was no money. And so when you got to be a year old, if you could walk and say no, you got a defensive weapon called a jackknife. There's my baby jackknife. I don't tell no lies. And Orville Ooten had 18 kids. He built a little sandbox in his backyard. Took him a week and a half to get down to 5 kids after he loaded it up with quicksand. It was hard in those Depression days. So, now this is serious now. I took my knife and I skinned out that buck deer, field dressed him, and the bear. But with that deer hide, I stripped him down to finger-width legs, tied end on end until I had me a rawhide deer skin rope, maybe run from here to over about 30, 35, 40 feet. Well, I put it in a bunch, stuck it down in the water, and put a rock on it so it wouldn't, swim away. Went around and started picking up pieces of wood about yay long. This is going to be hard on you real Floridians. I don't know how to describe a sledge to you, ground sledge. Up north, I can say it looks like a sleigh that don't have no runners. You've seen wagons. Take the wheels off, that'd be close. See, with the string I made from the hides of the foxes and the squirrels, I made me a sledge that was about this wide, about this long. When I went over to that, I didn't tell you, when I went over to skin out that buck deer, when he fell down dead, one of the tines sticking up in that rack of antlers went through and killed an 18-foot Florida diamondback rattlesnake. Oh, 22 rattles. And they taste good. You know what they taste like when you cook them, right? That's right. You're all learning. I'll have you educated before I leave. Well, I made me a belt out of that hide for years, but I kind of outgrew it when I got to be about 12 years old. Anyhow, I got all that deer meat and the bear meat on that sledge. And I got the 7 mallard ducks. They're over here, and the 7 Canada goose over here, and the pheasant and the rabbit, and the squirrel. Oh, first thing I did is got 22 fish out from my. They will tickle you something fierce. Well, I did. They do, too. And I got them on there. What did I forget? Oh, yeah, the turkeys. Well, what I did, see, first I took those 22 rattles off. And I took that rack of antlers and tied it real good to the front of the sledge, and I hung the rattles off one of the lower tines. Then I went over and I got that branch there and cut it off and tied it so those 7 wild turkeys' footsies would stay where they are. You following this? And I tied them real good to the front of the sledge. Then I got my wet deerskin rawhide rope out of the water, tied one end on the front of the sledge, right underneath that rack of antlers. Took the other end. Now, for you city folks, deerskin rawhide, when it's wet, stretches like a rubber band. I stretched that sucker right up the ridge, through the clover pasture, through Sylvester's gate, past his front door, tied it good about 20 feet past his door, good around a big old oak tree. Went back, knocked on his door. That's a door opening. He came out, and I told him, just like I finished telling you. He looked at me and said, Chuck, I don't hardly believe a word you're saying. You got evidence? I said, yes, sir. See, I'd gone back and got my honeybee, and I had shooed her back up and sung some songs to them and then herded them back, put them back in the honeybee hives. And I did all that before I went over to his house. And I figured by then the sun would have gotten up over the ridge, that afternoon sun, and it would dry out that wet stretch, deerskin rawhide rope, and it did. It started shrinking, and here come the sledge right on schedule. I said, I think this is my evidence of coming right now, Sylvester. Now, I know some of you smarty pants out here want to say, what happens when it hit a stump or a rock, that old ground sledge? Well, it did. Those old rattles went, brrr, and those wild turkeys flapped their wings and lifted it right up over that hurdle. I said, Sylvester, there it is. Best I can figure is 56 varmints of different types here. You got enough smoked meat to last you 2 years. Weren't this my lucky day, getting you all this meat? Chuck, where's the second bear? Oh, well, the gun blowed up. And did he get away? Well, yes, yeah, sir. You're fired. I told you, yeah. Fired me. Well, he was a Republican. Fired me right on the spot. And that's not funny. That's serious. A lot of my friends work for those people. And because I disobeyed, I let him get away. Well, do you know 3 days later, he come over to our farm and said, Chuck, I'd like to hire you back. I said, how come? Well, I went out in the woods there. You know where that bullet passed through that branch with the wild turkeys on it? Well, it went over about another 30, 40 feet, killed that second bear. I'd like to hire you back. If you put in a closed shop and unionize, I might consider it. And that's a true story.
Chuck is the storyteller in Georgia. And backstage, John Rice told me that he could tell the phone book and make you laugh. Well, it's been a terrific evening so far. And we're going to change the pace a little bit. And our next performer is one of our favorite gentle, soothing performer. And I think he's ready. From Tallahassee. How about a warm welcome for Doug Goss? And tonight joining him is Wayne Martin on the fiddle.
Well, I was going to play soft and gentle, but I think I'll rough you up. Got it, Pete? Ain't it sounding great tonight? Hooray for every man sound for the 40th consecutive year or something. They're sounding great. Thanks, Pete. I want to wake up in the morning where the orange blossoms grow, where the sun comes a-peeking into where I'm sleeping, where the songbirds say hello. I want to wander through the orange groves, where as children we would play. And so I make my home in Florida, F-L-O-R-I-D-A. watch the sunrise on the ocean. You can watch the moonlight on the bay. And in the winter, spring, summer, fall, or any time at all, it's just another Florida perfect day. Her roads and highways go to great places where so many fine folks stay. And so I make my home in Florida, F-L-O-R-I-D-A. And so I make my home here in Florida, F-L-O-R-I-D-A. This song's probably quite a bit out of character for me. It's the only Jimmy Buffett song in my repertoire. he played in Tallahassee last year, and I worked the show for the Civic Center doing the local production work. And I got the chance to talk to him, and he's been a big supporter of Gamble Rogers, and I hope you folks will be too. He's written letters the last couple years. During this season, when all the politicians are out stumping for your votes and so forth, when you see them folks that are running for the state senate or the state house, you tell them, we need Gamble Rogers in the Florida Artist Hall of Fame. I mean, but this is a song he closed the show with for Gamble, and I'm going to take a crack at it myself here. I once knew a poet who lived before his time. Him and his dog Spooner, old Spooner'd listen while he'd rhyme. Words to make you happy, words to make you cry. And then one day, that poet suddenly did die. But he left behind a closet all filled with verse and rhyme. And through some strange transaction, one got printed in the Times. It started everybody searching for the king of underground. Well, they found him down in Florida with a tombstone for a crown. And now everybody knows a line from his books that cost $19.99. And I can't help but wonder if he knows he's doing quite this fine. 'Cause his books are all bestsellers. All of his poems were turned to song. They had his brother on a talk show, although they never got along. And now he's called immortal, now he's even taught in school. They say he used his talents and most proficient tool. But he left all of his royalties to Spooner, that old hound, growing old on steak and bacon in a doghouse 10 feet round. And everybody wonders, did he really lose his mind? Nope. He was just a poet who lived before his time. I've got to work this weekend at midnight to 8 a.m. back in Tallahassee, and Margaret called up and asked if I could come over to sing Florida Sand tomorrow night, and I sure hate to drive 4 hours to sing a song, and I might do it anyhow, but just as a hedge in case summer or winter, the ocean is calling me back to Florida sand, 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 Florida sand, sand, sand. The wind and the ocean is calling me back to the sand, 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 to Florida sand, sand, sand. The waves softly sparkle beneath the bright moon. Night birds calling, return to me soon. Oh, Florida, Florida, my heart is yours ever. For always the love of this man is Florida sand, 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 Florida sand, sand, sand. Thought of an old friend, and he's still here in Florida, somewhere in the wind. Oh, Florida, Florida, his heart was yours ever, for always the love of the man was his Florida sand, 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 his Florida sand, sand, sand. Will's beautiful sun-kissed land, oh, Florida sand. This is a song by a Florida Folk Heritage Award winner. Well, when this life is all over and it starts to close that lid, it's too late to say it never felt better in your life and you think it's about time you did. Well, I met me a man in Miami. I said, how come you look so down? He said, because I live in Miami and I hate this Yankee town. And he was picking up his outbound ticket. He said, I've lived here since I was a kid, but I ain't never felt better in my entire life. And I think it's about time I did. So when this life is all over and they start to close that lid, it's too late to say you never felt better in your life. And you think it's about time you did. Well, I met me a Cedar Key rounder. I said, how do you like it there? Said it beats the hell out of Cleveland, where you can't even breathe the air. He got tired of working in a factory, gave it up for the Cedar Keys. Gonna spend the rest of his entire life doing any damn thing he pleases. When his life is all over, when they start to close that lid, it's too late to say you never felt better in your life, and you think it's about time you did. Well, I've known me a whole lot of people hanging out where they was raised, but that ain't necessarily living. Just existing in an open grave, you gotta move your feet just a little. If they begin to itch and never seek to know for whom the bell tolls, go ring that son of a gun. Cause when this life is all over, when they start to close that lid, it's too late to say you never felt better in your life, and you think it's about time you did. Well, the moral of this story is live your life with flair. Go flat out with your tongue stuck out and your middle finger in the air. Cause when his life is all over and they start to close that lid, it's too late to say you never felt better in your life. You think it's about time you did. It's too late to say you never felt better in your life. You think it's about time that you did. My dad drove a load of us kids up in 1961. I played cornet, accompanying a group of ethnic Greek dancers in my native Tarpon Springs. And this song here is a song by Chester Atkins, and it's on my agenda as unfinished business. And I, if the last couple of years have taught me anything, it's take care of business. When I was young, my dad would say, "Come on, son, let's go out to play." There's times it seems like it was only yesterday. Sometimes when I was home by myself, I'd climb up the closet shelf, and I'd put on one of his hats, and I'd fix the brim, pretending I was him. No matter how hard I try, no matter how many tears I cry, no matter how many years go by, I still can't say goodbye. Dad always took care of Mom and me. One year we cut down a Christmas tree. I never once heard him say he was too busy for me. Through the trees and the street lights still shine bright. Most things are the same, but I miss my dad tonight. I passed a Salvation Army store. I saw a hat like my daddy wore. I tried it on and I set the brim, and I realized I'm still trying to be like him. No matter how hard I try, no matter how many tears I cry, no matter how many years go by, I still can't say goodbye.